What's the time?
It's time to get
air. Hello and welcome to The More You Know. I'm Pickles and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Today's show is going to be a little different than usual. Since spring break is coming up, we'll be looking at some wacky news to get you excited and a little less stressed for the weekend. Start off with world news. Let's look at the new butt plug that's out. It's in the shape of the Russian leader Putin. The graphic designer Fernando Sosa is building up on Reddit with his newest 3D printed work of art, a figurine of Russian President Vladimir Putin that's not quite perfect for some self-loving, but is a way to stick it to the country's anti-gay politics. Says Sosa, this is the second of my political-oriented figurines. As many of you guys know, Russia is bringing an all-out war against the civil rights of gay people in Russia. Leading the charge is Mr. Putin and his homophobic leadership. I wanted to ridicule Mr. Putin, so I wanted to make a voodoo-like doll of him so people could do whatever they wanted to Mr. Putin in the privacy of their own home. However, what a better way to attack Mr. Putin's shirtless bear wrestling reputation. Make him into the shape of a butt plug. Putin's anti-gay policies also inspired the Send a Sex Toy to Vladimir Putin Facebook campaign. Politics aside, it's pretty hilarious and greatly detailed. And despite the aim of Sosa's joke, it should be noted that heterosexuals and homosexuals partake in anal sex. However, we should give you a word of warning. Don't actually stick up the Vladimir Putin butt plug up any orifices. Perhaps in the cruelest joke of all, the butt plug is entirely made of sandstone. Emphasis on sandstone, Sosa said in a Reddit comment. That doesn't mean Sosa isn't trying to improve his product. I'm looking for a few people to help me buy raw materials like skin-safe silicone or rubber, Sosa said on his website. The artist is currently selling the novelty plugs for a modest $23. As an added bonus, Sosa has a pretty great sculpture of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. So, if you're looking for a nice gag gift for anyone's birthday coming up, maybe go and buy them a Vladimir Putin butt plug. Also, El Chapo, the most wanted drug lord, was captured in Mexico. Just before 7 a.m. on Saturday, dozens of soldiers and police officers descended on a condominium tower in Mazatlan, Mexico, a beach resort known as a hangout for the drug traffickers as for its seafood and surf. The forces were following yet another tip about the whereabouts of one of the world's most wanted drug kingpins, Joaquin Guzman Loera, known as El Chapo, which means shorty, who had eluded such rage for 13 years since escaping from prison by many accounts in a laundry cart. With an army of guards and lethally enforced loyalty, he reigned over a worldwide multi-billion dollar drug empire that supplied much of the cocaine and marijuana to the United States despite a widespread, years-long manhunt by American and Mexican forces. This time, however, Mr. Guzman, believed to be in his mid-50s, did not slip out a door, disappear into the famed mountains around his northwest Mexico home, or prove to be absent, as he had in so many previous attempts to apprehend him. He apparently had no time to reach for the arsenal of guns and grenades he had amassed or dash into a storm drain or tunnel, as authorities said he recently did minutes ahead of pursuers. Mexican Marines and the police, aided by information from the United States, Drug Enforcement Administration, Immigration and Customs officials, and the United States Marshal Service, took him into custody without firing a shot, according to Mexican officials. Mexico's Attorney General, Jesus Murillo Caram, said a later forensic exam made it 100% certain that the man was Mr. Guzman. The tests were done to avoid the kind of embarrassment Mexican officials faced in June 2012 when they announced the arrest of Mr. Guzman's son, only to later discover it was not him. Mr. Guzman faces a slew of drug trafficking and organized crime charges in the United States, which had offered $5 million for information leading to his arrest in the hopes of dealing a crippling blow to an organization that is the country's top provider of illicit drugs. Mr. Guzman's Sinaloa cartel is considered the largest and most powerful trafficking organization in the world, with a reach as far as Europe and Asia, a and has been a main combatant in a spasm of violence that has left tens of thousands dead in Mexico. Big strike, said a Twitter posting by former President Felipe Calderon, who had made cracking down on drugs gangs a hallmark of his tenure. But it was the forces under the control of President Enrique Peña Nieto, whose resolve to fight drug traffickers was questioned, that produced the biggest arrest in a generation. While Mr. Peña Nieto has not allowed American law enforcement officials the kind of broad access into Mexico that Mr. Calderon had permitted, the two countries have continued to work together on big cases. Eduardo Medina Mora, the Mexican ambassador to the United States, said that the two governments had been working together on the case for months, but whether Mr. Guzman could be extradited to the United States has not been worked out. I think it's important that he faces the charges against him in Mexico first, the ambassador said. It remains to be seen if the arrest will interrupt Mexico's thriving drug trade. The capture or killing of a drug lord sometimes unleashes more violence as internal feuds break out and rivals attack. And given the efficiency of Sinaloa cartel, it is possible the group will manage a smooth transition to a new leader and will continue with business as usual. The takedown of Chapo Guzman is a thorn in the side of the Sinaloa cartel, but not a dagger in its heart, said George Crayson, a professor at the College of William and Mary who studies the drug war. Over time, as he eluded the capture, his legend and the mystery of his whereabouts grew. He had been rumored to be in Guatemala, Argentina, Bolivia, and even, as Mr. Calderon once speculated, in the United States, where his wife had given birth to twins. But in the end, he was captured not long after doing what so many cartel bosses do, having a party in Mazatlan. A few details were available on Saturday, but a picture of Mr. Guzman, who appeared kneeling and handcuffed with a few cuts on his face and shoulders, circulated among the law enforcement officials. In the afternoon, he was paraded before the media at a news conference at Mexico's International Airport in dark jeans, a dress shirt, and noticeably blacker hair than in previous photographs. Masked Mexican Marines gripped him as he walked to a helicopter that would take him to prison. The authorities seized an arsenal during his arrest, suggesting that the lengths he went to protect himself, 97 large guns, 36 handguns, 2 grenade launchers, a rocket launcher, and 43 vehicles, several of them armed. Without specifying their location, Mr. Murillo Caram said Guzman had 7 houses with reinforced steel doors and connected by tunnels that allowed him to escape just ahead of the police. An American law enforcement official said that last week, the DEA assisted Mexican agents in a raid on an upper-class neighborhood of Cualcan, Mexico, the Sinaloa state capital, arrested several security people for Mr. Guzman, and discovered the tunnels with openings to them in the showers of several homes. Mr. Guzman fled to Mazatlan, the official said, and the Mexicans and Americans followed. As it became apparent that Mr. Guzman had been caught, some in Mazatlan, where he had been known to dole out wads of cash to keep his whereabouts secret, expressed concern. At a breakfast gathering for local businessmen, a few attendees got up and left immediately, according to a witness. It's bad news for Mazatlan, said one of the men at the breakfast. He was keeping the peace. In the years since he escaped prison, Mr. Guzman took on near-mythic status. He landed on the Forbes list of the world's richest people, picked up the tab for entire restaurants, or the stories go, to assure diners would remain silent about his outings. According to a leaked diplomatic cable, he surrounded himself with an entourage of 300 armed men for protection, and narcocorridos, folk ballads in tribute to drug lords, were sung in his honor. Although Mr. Guzman had remained the head of the Sinaloa cartel, security analysts have long suspected that much of the day-to-day management fell to subordinates still at large. Still, his fall carried a potent symbolic boost for Mexican security forces. Mr. Guzman was born in the poverty in the foothills of the Sierra Madre in Sinaloa State and dropped out of school by third grade. His first foray into drug smuggling came in the late 1980s when the State Department said he began working for Miguel Angel Felix Gallardo, once Mexico's biggest cocaine dealer, as an air logistics expert. Mr. Guzman exploited the cocaine boom in the United States at the time, making valuable contacts along the transportation chain from Colombia to Arizona. By the time the Mexican authorities captured Mr. Felix Gallardo in 1989, Mr. Guzman had begun forming his own cartel. In 1993, he was charged in the United States with money laundering and racketeering, and 3 months later he was arrested and convicted in Mexico on drug and homicide charges and sentenced to 20 years. As American investigations continued, indictments piled up. Once in 1994, said Mr. Guzman, continued operating his organization through a brother while jailed. Then, in January 2001, Mr. Guzman's criminal career took a stunning turn with his escape. Some Mexicans greeted the news of his capture with a shrug as drug violence continues. There's also uncertainty over what to believe about Mr. Guzman. He was somebody who existed, said Gustavo Collin in Mexico City, and didn't exist. Lastly, to wrap it up for world news today, here's a girl who speaks gibberish with perfect accents to show what languages look like to foreigners, or sound like, that is. What do you sound like to a foreigner? The 19-year-old Finnish YouTuber, user Sarah, is here to unveil the mystery. Although she is speaking total gibberish, her spot-on accents give us a clue as to how you might sound to someone who doesn't speak your language. To hear UK and American English accents, skip to 50 and 112, but trust us, this whole video is worth watching. Since being uploaded on Monday, it has racked up over 2 million views. Alright, and just one moment. It's pretty awesome to hear what American sounds like to others, because, you know, you hear other languages, and you think, wow, how do they understand that? Now we hear what it sounds like to other people. First off is Finnish.
Tällä handlar jag. Filma on yrttiteetä, teetä ja kaksi ruisleipää.
Moi. Jamala teleylillä kantoraami josmerinille kai meretuksella Matte Solmi vai lakoinnissa. Alltså det
And then Swedish.
Man sortar med handlar jag. Filma råd ostaglig förkämpare med en skimattrupa med alla pluva som fan. Dessa fjortare plådar oss mot en botan och mas hemma. Kassolet.
Estonian and remember she's speaking only gibberish. None of these are real languages.
Mä seksimäs puska juurel. Mä ykkylisin kato seksimies on karva kormakkaral. Iljas kardjuska, kadrupailli blakavishnia znyuru.
Not rushing, but something Slavic, I guess, is how she titles this next one.
Njakral karbokalal jediskimi rinsam bode. Bonsoir.
French.
Jacquator le boulet sans sa voix de quatre d'un. Quel est boulant trois heures jusqu'il monarde, je le poids Mangiore!
Italian.
No prati sola vire, to putta pesca madra sola. Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Forma choice re de caio al merianto. Grama de hauda faduro, chi sancere io padre sa me. Ma c'è.
UK English is this next one.
I kill it in my bones. Dumb things, innit? It's like a miraculously marbleizing felt tip pen, like a ordinary crescentence of a mariating fullero. Ano, c'è music?
Japanese?
C'è nata turu yukimas. Ano yukittura basantito yuskidil matoska. Masekki turu yukimikte. La.
Spanish?
La maniero casual matuada mierda. Que tondo quise el solo un lugar. Abierta per viva con todo conmigo pueses. A huevo, cabrón.
USA English?
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Mazzendri appearing like Monin Fair fell on me like a pending friend trick at Bologna Value Precisely. Hello?
Da Pachi Dima.
Hindi?
Padeep Milkar Babaji Pani Mirega Ariamal Magar Jaunga. Vidigata Miligimi Bariba. Makulusal wa.
Arabic?
Wahida al Habab. Mayarakal Tahedi Minasal Yashtakhtali. Arhumma Kalas and Adrus Walluha al Arabiya fil Bait. Ah! Mischafi Mirela Sabasabakhtum. Mischafi Chabasubruk Barakor Kobes Bilapel Behel al Bahat Mischafi. Bishang.
East Asian is how this next one is titled.
Da bul bak ting le thui ma thai chang bik de da bak ben ne bang.
That's pretty amazing to think that just with gibberish I can see what tons of different languages sound like. Now we'll go to a break. Just one moment. is Thin Blue Flame, the acoustic version with Josh Ritter.
I became a thin blue flame. I was polished on a mountain range, and over hills and fields I flew, wrapped up in a royal blue. I flew over Royal City last night, bullfighting the horns of a new moonlight. I seized his ghost, I saw the wartime tides. The Prince of Denmark's father still and quiet. The whole world was looking to get drowned. Trees were a fist shaking themselves at the clouds. I looked over curtains and it's then that I knew only a full house gonna make it through. And I became a thin blue wire. I held the world above the fire, and so it was I saw behind. And heaven's just a thin blue line. If God's up there, he's in a cold dark room. The heavenly hosts are just the cold dark moons. Bent down and made the world in 7 days. Ever since he's been walking away, mixing with nitrogen in lonely holes, where neither seraphim or raindrops go. I see an old man wandering the halls alone. Only a full house gonna make a home. And I became a thin blue stream. The smoke between a sleep and dream. And in that clear blue undertow, saw Royal City far below, the border soft with refugees, streets are swimming with amputees. It's a Bible or a bullet they put over your heart. It's getting harder and harder just to tear them apart. The days are nights and the nights are long, and beating hearts blossom into walking bombs. And those still looking in the clear blue sky for a sign get missiles from so high they might as well be divine. And now the dogs are howling at your doors, singing about vengeance like it's the joy of the Lord. Bringing justice to the enemies, not the other way around. They're guilty when killed, and they're killed where they're found. If what's loosed on earth will be loosed up on high, it's a hell of a heaven we must go to when we die. Why Laurel begs Hardy for vengeance, please. The fat man's crying on his hands and his knees. Back in the peacetime he caught roses on the stage. Now he twists indecision, takes bourbon for rage. Lead pellets, pepper and aluminum, halcyon, laudanum and opium. Sings his the Hardy this poison cup. His winding sheet is busy winding up. In darkness he looks for the lights that have died. You need faith for the same reasons that it's so hard to find. And this whole thing is headed for a terrible wreck. And like a tragedy, that's what we expect. Night I make plans for a city laid down, the hips of a girl on the spring-covered ground. Spirals and capitals in the twists of a script. Streets named for heroes that could almost exist. Fruit trees of Eden and the gardens they seem to float like smoke from a lithium drain. cedar trees growing in the cool of the squares. Young women walking in the portals of prayer. The future glass buildings and the past in the dress. The weddings in pollen and the wine bottomless. And our wrongs forgotten and our vengeance made right. The suffering verbs put to sleep in the night. The future descending like a bright chandelier. The world just beginning and the guests in good cheer. All royal city, I went into a trance. It's hell to believe there ain't a hell of a chance. Beneath the clear blue sky, the sun was a shout and the breeze was a sigh. And the old hometown and the streets I knew were wrapped up in a royal blue. And I heard my friends laughing out across the field. Girls in the gloaming and the birds on a wheel. The raw smell of horses and the warm smell of hay. Cicadas electric in the heat of the day. A run of three sisters in the flush of the land. The lake was a diamond in the valley's hand. The straight of the highway and the scattered out hearts. Coming together they were pulling apart. And angels everywhere were in my midst. And the ones that I loved and the ones that I. And I wonder what it was we've been looking for up above. Heaven is so big there ain't no need to look up. So I stopped looking for royal cities in the air. Only a full house can I have a prayer. Only a full house. Only a full house.
Thank you. for that just brushed clean feeling.
Eat, drink, chew, orbit.
Hello. Kevin, hi. So nice to meet you.
Nice to see you, BuzzFeed. What's trending?
So tell me what you're wearing tonight.
I'm wearing Burberry from the House of Burberry.
So when did you get up this morning to get ready?
I got up at about 9. Had a nice breakfast. Thought about playing tennis, but there just wasn't enough time.
Who did your hair?
It just happens. It's not a big deal.
What about mani-pedi? Show us your mani-pedi.
My what?
Mani.
Man, she is. You did you start smoking before you came here today?
Dieting for months, getting ready for this.
No, God, no. Oh, absolutely not.
What about Spanx? Do you have any Spanx on tonight?
What?
Spanx? You know, to get it ready, to get it
BuzzFeed
tight.
BuzzFeed is so f***ed up. You guys are so f***ed up.
Women celebrities have been subjected to these monotonous, rabid food questions time and time again, but when Spacey was posed these questions, he walked away after less than a minute of rapid probing. As we've seen from so many gender swap parodies, subjecting men to the biases and experiences women deal with reveals the depth of everyday sexism. Fashion Police mocks pregnant Elsa Pataky's Oscar look, jokes about her beer belly. And here we have the opposite of somebody talking about a woman's appearance on the red carpet, as we just talked about. The panel on E's Fashion Police crossed the line when they ruthlessly mocked pregnant Elsa Pataky's Oscars look. She is currently pregnant with twins, and on Sunday, the gorgeous actress attended the Oscars with her husband, Chris Hemsworth. She wore a glittering turquoise Ellie Saab gown with a drop waist that accented her figure. However, Joan Rivers and her company weren't very impressed with the ensemble and proceeded to trash the pregnant starlet. Said Rivers, "First of all, I'm sorry. Look at her tummy. We now know that Thor's hammer works in real life, too. She is huge. Come on. I know why she's huge. I saw her sonogram," she added before showing a shot of Ellen DeGeneres' Oscars group selfie, which has now become famous. "The last thing I want to do is rip on a pregnant woman because it is incredible that she can do this with her with your bodies," stylist George Kotsipolos said. "But I would be remiss not to. It's a horrible dress on her. That doesn't look like a baby bump. It looks like a huge beer belly. I'm sorry and I acknowledge that's a horrible thing to say, but it's the wrong dress on this woman." Kelly Osbourne also added her two cents, saying it was not the appropriate dress to wear if you're pregnant. But the group attempted to end on a positive note, calling Pataky a beautiful woman. Some have spoken out against Fashion Police for its potentially harmful criticism. In November, Jennifer Lawrence blamed it for showing younger generations to judge people based on their physical appearances and for making it okay to use words like ugly and fat. However, if you go and look at the dress she's wearing, it really does look like a giant beer belly. And while she is a beautiful woman and it's a pretty color on her, maybe she could have figured pick something more flattering for a woman who's pregnant with twins. Now, to go the opposite way, guys are often judged for, you know, buying women and prostitution and all that, but what if you can rent a boyfriend for $264? That's what you can do in China. Ever wonder what a date with a rented boyfriend was like? You've come to the right place, says yourtango.com. What happens when you need a boyfriend for the day? That is a site that's got you covered. Melanie Li, a blogger for Alibaba, gave Taobao, a Chinese online marketplace with a rent-a-boyfriend section, a whirl. And lucky for us, she spilled her story to Business Insider. Here's what you must know about your day-long. Here's what you must know about how her day-long day went. When she met her boyfriend for the day, she described the 30-year-old as average. "To me, he looked like he could be the world's nicest guy, or canniest serial killer, which in the world of fake companions sounds about right. His price? How much would you pay for a temporary boyfriend? Of course, that depends what you need him for. For many women in China, the pressure to have a significant other is so great that they use this service to find men to accompany them when they visit their families. Depending on the family, I could see women spending a fortune on fake boys, quiet, overbearing parents, and noisy cousins around the holidays. Well, Melanie and her rented guy didn't visit her family. She paid more than the average monthly income for a Chinese family for her date. What did he come with? For $264, which is 1,500 yen, the hired boyfriend came with his undivided attention for a day. However, kissing, hand-holding, and other dodgy physical contact were not included. I didn't know hand-holding counted as dodgy physical contact. Their interactions? The faux duo started off sitting as far apart from each other as two people could possibly do in a taxi to eventually coming close together for a photo. He put his arm around Melanie. Though he wasn't too chatty, Melanie says when the conversation slowed down, they both pulled out their phones and texted friends. What did they do? During their daytime date, the couple toured the city of Hangzhou. They took a boat tour, ate, and visited Lingjin Temple, a Buddhist temple. His personality? Melanie described her day-long boyfriend as distant, not the charming lad she had expected. As the date went on and the ice cream fondue was flowing, he opened up about his dating history, and even the pressure he faces in China to find love. Men are expected to have a lot of money before they start the search for a wife, and women face a lot of pressure to get married young. If you are like me, nearly 30 with not a lot of money, your chances to marry soon are low, he told his fake date. He mentioned his only long-term relationship ended after he lost his savings in the Shanghai stock market. His job? Even though the boyfriend for hire doesn't think he'll find love on the job because no one would ever take him seriously, his job pays the bills and lets him travel. Normally, he's hired by single women to find off family members, but he's even played the role of entertaining mistresses when their men are out of town. Final thoughts. Melanie says she wasn't too chatty, but he did shed some light on the pressures men also face in China to find the one. Although this first date was filled with many doubts, the hired boyfriend mentioned his ex, texted on the date, and brought up money issues. But hey, he's fake, and the rules may be different for rented dates. We're going to take another quick break, and here is Blood on the Leaves by Kanye West.
Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Blood on the leaves.
I just need to clear my mind now. It's been racing since the summertime.
Freeze.
Now I'm holding down the summer now.
Freeze.
And all I want is what I can't buy now. Cause I ain't got the money on me right now. And I told you to wait. Yeah, I told you to wait. So I'ma need a little more time now. Cause I ain't got the money on me right now. And I thought you could wait. Yeah, I thought you could wait. These bitches surrounding me. Oh, want something now, man. Then they talk about me.
Freeze.
Would be lost without me. We could have been somebody. Thought you'd be different about it. Now I know you're not it. So let's get on with it. We could have been somebody. Said you had to tell somebody. Let's take it back to the first party. When you tried your first Molly, it came out of your body. Out of your body, running naked down the lobby, and you were screaming that you love me. Before the limelight tore ya, before the limelight stole ya. Remember we were so young. When I would hold ya, before the
blood.
I know you need. Something strange happening.
From the poplar trees. From the poplar trees.
You could have been somebody. We could have been somebody. Was it on the first party? When we tried our first Molly. It came out of our body. It came out of our body. Yeah. Before they call lawyers. Before you try to destroy us, how you gon' lie to the lawyer? It's like I don't even know ya. I gotta bring it back to the know ya. Fuck the
them other niggas, cause I'm down with my niggas. Fuck them other niggas, cause I'm down with my niggas. Fuck them other niggas, cause I'm down with my niggas. I ride with my niggas, I die for mine. To all my second stream bitches, try and get a baby, try and get a baby. Now you talking crazy. I don't give a damn if you used to talk to Jay-Z. He ain't with you if Beyonce need to stop acting lazy. She Instagram herself like bad bitch alert. He Instagram his watch like mad rich alert. He only wanna see that ass in reverse. $2,000 bag with no cash in your purse. Now you sitting courtside, wifey on the other side. Gotta keep them separated, I call that apartheid. Then she said she pregnantated, that's the night your heart died. Then you gotta go into your girl and report that. Main reason cause your pastor said you can't abort that. Now your driver say that new Benz, you can't afford that. All that cocaine on the table, you can't snort that. That going to that, all that money that the court got. On and on the alimony, yeah, yeah, she got you, homie, yeah. Till death, but do your part, unholy matrimony.
Black bodies swinging in the summer breeze.
On us, we have Mr. Cares, who is a bit of a squash expert. He is going to be talking with us, and first off, have you heard about the Sasquatch tracks found on Vancouver Island? Would you like to introduce yourself, Henry?
I'm Henry Cares from Michigan, and I've done a good bit of squatching in my day so far.
All right, can you tell us a little bit of background about squatches and what you know?
Sasquatch is a larger-than-life figure that has been a legend in many rural areas for as long as men can remember.
And yeah. Have you ever seen a Squatch yourself? Or?
Personally, no. I've heard stories and I've seen the signs, but I've never come into full contact yet.
Yeah. And I've heard from some fans that a catchphrase of yours is, I do believe there's a Squatch in these woods. Is that correct?
I've said that when I come into some good sign in a really heavily tracked up area of the forest.
Since you've been here, have you seen any signs of squatches?
No, I think the population around here is a little bit too high for them, and they're pretty shy creatures.
Yeah.
They really don't like to be around a populated area like this.
What could somebody look for if they see some signs so they know to keep some space from the squatches, you know, so they can respectfully say, hey, I think you're pretty neat, but keep our distance.
Yeah, they're really shy, and they're gonna try and steer away from you. They have, you know, you can see their tracks, you can see them scrape up against trees. if you do hear something, they'll bang on trees with sticks, they'll kind of howl at you, and just kind of warn you that, you know, they can rip your face off if they ever got the inclination to do so.
Yeah, that's true, you know, they can do that, I've heard from you. So, what do you know about the Vancouver Sasquatch tracks found?
A hairy creature conjuring the Sasquatch of North America folklore is stomping around Vancouver Island, according to young First Nations man who claims he had a startling encounter with the beast.
Ooh, startling.
Fisheries officer Luke Swan Jr. told CTV News he was out in his boat patrolling in the territory near Tofino last Wednesday when he saw a mysterious figure crouching on the coast. Something really big stood up, probably between 8 and 9 feet tall, he said. The first thing I had in my mind was to get off the beach. I pushed off as fast as I could to get into deep water. Swan Jr. said he couldn't identify the creature, but had seen enough bears to know it wasn't a bruin. After gathering his wits, the young man told his father what happened. They went out searching and claimed to have located a number of possible tracks in the area, which they measured at 16 inches long, 7 to 9 inches wide. We went further into a stream and into the river and found more footprints. So it's out there, Luke Swan Jr. said. The family photographed the markings as well as cedar trees that have been stripped of bark about 8 feet off the ground. They believe their findings point to a Sasquatch, the legendary biped that has purportedly been spotted in the Pacific Northwest for about a century. Sasquatch sightings are generally dismissed as misconception or hoaxes due to lack of conceiving evidence and abundance of proven frauds, but interest in the alleged in the legend persists.
So what do you have to say to accounts that Sasquatch sightings are hoaxes and that Sasquatches don't exist?
There are a number of people out there trying to get famous, trying to do something weird. One instance I can think of is there is a man in Canada who dressed up in a hairy outfit and he was running on the road.
All
right. Some poor young lady ran him over, and then another truck driver ran him over, and that ended his fame for him in a positive note. But he did get famous, but not the way he wanted to.
Yeah, I believe, did he live from that, or?
Not at all.
So that just goes to show, you know, don't try this at home, folks, and don't dress up like squatches in the middle of the road, especially not in known trekking areas.
No, that can't work out well.
No, it can't. So what do you think about these tracks? Do you think that they're good, or?
The photos I've seen are pretty convincing. The sign is pretty consistent with what everybody says they see.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you think you're going to go try and check them out, or do you have any friends who like to go squatching with you?
I have some fellow squatchers in the area that I'm going to be contacting about that, and I would love to get up there and peek around myself, but I just don't know I can get up there for now.
Yeah, you got a lot of squatching to do around your parts, don't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty busy with it right now.
Yeah, I believe that it's a big squatching site in the area where you live.
It is. There's historically been a high number of sightings.
It's great to hear. And then just to wrap up our show here, we're going to talk about some of the top 20 trashiest spring break spots right before a nice little spring break ourselves. Are you going on spring break anywhere?
I'm going to British Columbia.
Oh, what are you going to be doing there?
Doing some skiing and hopefully some squatching, but...
Hopefully, yeah. See if you have any time.
We'll
count down from 10, just for lack of time. So, Scottsdale, Arizona. Well, that's concerning, seeing as I will be going to Gilbert, Arizona, which is close to Scottsdale, very next week. Although I don't think that I'll be looking like the girls in these pictures here, as you can find on coed.com, who look to be trying to blind each other with beer. It says Scottsdale's hands down the wildest place in Arizona. If you need a source, look no further than Krill of KrillWasHere.com, who claims that Arizona was the hottest, wildest girls I've ever partied with. So we'll see how I like Arizona next week.
We'll see how you compare with that.
Yeah, we shall. Luckily for me, I'll be staying with the family and, you know, doing good, wholesome things like baking and seeing spring training games.
You never know, really.
Never know. People change.
Really, we stay the same.
Yeah. Number 9, Fort Myers Beach, Florida. Welcome to Fort Myers, where the beer flows and the morals stay loose. The name of the game when it comes to true spring break partying in Fort Myles is Real and Sterile Maine and Lanakai. It's an older, semi-rundown area of the beach that's perfect for hosting the daily booty-shaking contest that happened during high season. You know, we know someone who's really good at booty-shaking, don't we? It's Tucker Whitley.
I've seen it done. He is a master.
I believe the story goes that on his spring break in Florida, though I think it was Panama City Beach, his roommates woke up to chanting of his name from the beach as he shook his butt, rather naked, for the whole beach to see.
It's an impressive tale.
He's a big guy. He's a good shaker.
Not that I would want to see it myself, but...
No, I'm not sure if I would either. The next two also come from Florida. It's Tampa, Florida, and Miami, Florida. Both of those are pretty well known. Number 6 is South Beach, Padre Island, Texas. Number 5 is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And then 4 is, again, Orlando, Florida. And then the top 3, the best of them all, New Orleans, Louisiana, Panama City Beach, Florida, which is, of course, where I spent my last spring break.
Of course.
And Las Vegas, Nevada. So, Las Vegas. For the third year in a row, Las Vegas has retained its title as America's number one trashiest spring break destination. No surprise there, considering the City of Sin is the world leader in most of our trashy benchmarks, strip clubs, girls gone wild, lenient drinking laws, and of course casinos. Even hotel and airfare prices are low, courtesy of all the Vegas casinos, who figure that if they can get you in the door, then they can take your money the old-fashioned way.
Las Vegas, where the beer flows like wine.
Heard that. Sure didn't hear it, but I heard it. And now, let's just talk a little bit about Panama City Beach. Know anyone who's been there, besides me?
I've had quite a few friends go there, and none of them have really proven themselves to make an excess of good decisions. So,
yeah.
I mean, it Once seems again, like a good time.
As coed.com, going back to our friend Tucker, there are booty shaking parties asking women to twerk till I squirt, so we'll have to ask Tucker if he squirted as he twerked.
I certainly hope not.
I certainly hope not as well. Alright, and that'll be it for us today. This has been The More You Know. Thank you, Mr. Karras, for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Have a great spring break, everybody, and we will see you after the break on The More You Know. This is radio.dominican.edu.